This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by TrekFan. TrekFan isn't just a Star Trek fan club, it's a challenge. You will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. To face your first challenge and to find out more, head on over to TrekFan.org.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt and...
Lori Sears.
You are in for a treat tonight, folks, or if you're listening to this in the morning, in the morning. So, what we're going to do today is our favorite thing to do on To the Journey, and that's make a list.
We like our lists.
Absolutely. Like, we love grocery lists, we love shopping lists, we love listing our favorite colors and outfits, but... what we most love.
Speak for yourself on that one, buddy. I like making lists of lists.
There we go. It's kind of like making a pie chart of your favorite bars and a bar chart of your favorite pies. Something like that.
I like the way you think.
Wow.
But tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to make a top three list of our favorite tough love moments on Voyager. Now, one thing that Star Trek really does well, and does a lot of things well, is they have people in positions of power who care about those in their command or under their command. People who love each other, care about each other, and sometimes realize that they need to get smacked around figuratively and sometimes literally. And with that in mind, we have combed through all seven seasons and picked our top three. Now, sometimes we get some crossovers. Sometimes we have individual ones. So we're going to do three each.
These are always a surprise to each other. We don't reveal our selections beforehand. So let's find out what we all chose.
Char, how about you kick us off?
Okay. Yeah, this is great because then I get an easy pick here because I think I'm going to go with the most obvious choice with this topic. I think the first episode that comes to anybody's mind when you think of tough love is 30 Days.
At least this time I broke the rules for a reason. For something I believed in.
I admire your principles, Tom. But I can't ignore what you've done. I hereby reduce you to the rank of ensign. And I sentence you to 30 days solitary confinement. Take Ensign Paris to the brig.
I know the way.
You cannot do an episode. I mean, you can't do a podcast about tough love without talking about 30 days.
Right? It's just impossible. It would be stupid. People would be turning us off saying, "You fools, you don't know nothing." So we have to get this one out of the way right away because it is the predictable choice. This is the one, of course, where Tom stands up for something he believes in, but it's against the regulations, and so he's demoted, and Janeway overdramatically removes the pips from his collar, and he has to be in confinement for a whole month. I mean, very little interaction with other people at all. He gets, what was it called when Neelix gave him just the very basic nutrition, or... there was some specific wording for that, which I can't remember right now, unfortunately. But anyway, this was definitely the go-to tough love instance here, because Janeway really kicks him on his rear and makes him sit on it.
There's no greater act of tough love than demotion.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It's just like you screwed up. I could have left you to the wolves and had them imprison you, or you know, like I could have done any number of things, but I chose to keep you on the ship, but you're going to be an ensign. You know, like it's messed up. And like you said, I mean, dramatically pulled off his pips. There is nothing more dramatic of a visual cue in Star Trek than taking off the pips or taking off a comm badge and just throwing it on the table.
It is It's that ultimate moment of truth. You know that things are going down when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's definitely my first choice. Now, did either of you pick that episode?
I just left that one off the list because I figured somebody else would pick it. So.
Yeah, it's the same with me. Like, I didn't pick that one because I figured there was a big chance that one of you would pick it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad I took that chance then, because then if we would have left it off, we would have been screwed.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great moment.
Because, it was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode to begin with, and we get to delve a little bit deeper in Tom's character. And we only see demotion, what, one other time? In the movies? Like, when Kirk got bumped down from Admiral to Captain?
Oh, yeah.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I think
so. And not to mention all of the writers and the producers demoting everyone for season two without telling anyone.
Oh, never mind that now.
Yeah. Nah. We won't
talk. We weren't supposed to know that.
No. All right. Well, Lori, can you give us your number one?
My number one was in the episode Prime Factors at the end.
I don't even know where to start. I want you to explain to me how you, of all people, could be involved in this.
It is quite simple, Captain. You have made it clear on many occasions that your highest goal for the crew was to get them home. But in this instance, your standards would not allow you to violate Sakaarian law. Someone had to spare you the ethical dilemma. I was the logical choice, and so I chose to act.
You did it for me, because you knew I couldn't.
I accept the consequences of my actions. I expect to lose my commission and to be court-martialed when we return to Federation space.
You are one of my most valued officers. And you are my friend. It is vital that you understand me here. I need you. But I also need to know that I can count on you. You are my counsel. The one I turn to when I need my moral compass checked. We have forged this relationship for years, and I depend on it.
Janeway's just reaming out B'Elanna and Tuvok. And B'Elanna doesn't get it as bad as Tuvok does. But she's just letting him know not to make any decisions without her. Because he went and got that space folding envelope manila vanilla. I don't even know what he did. But
let's just call it the space device.
Yeah, that thing that was supposed to shoot them back home in like two jumps.
Why is any object we don't understand always called a thing?
It's a thing. That's right.
We just call it the FTL drive.
FTL.
Yeah,
drive.
There you go. That's right. They needed a DeLorean. Oh, that's Battlestar Galactica. Ooh, I'm embarrassed now.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry.
Shame. I was thinking about the whatever they put in the DeLorean in Back to the Future. But anyway.
Oh, that's the flux capacitor, yeah.
There you go, yeah. But anyway, she's all like, don't use your logic to justify crap, just to make it justify crap. And what went through my mind, I was watching that scene today, and what did I see, like, Garrett Wong on some con video saying they made Kate Mulgrew redo her take so many times because she was so uber-emotional. And I was like, if that was not uber-emotional, I don't know what was. She's
she must have been bawling if that was
the case. Anyway, so he's like, I can't believe you're letting me have it for this? Really? He just looks dumbfounded. Gives her the eyebrow.
He does. Yeah. For a Vulcan, he does look dumbfounded. Like, he looks confused. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is confused emotion? No.
Yeah.
I think so.
I see.
But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, Lori. That's really good. Because we get not just one dress down, but two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Janeway will yell, and it's always harder when it's at Tuvok because, I mean, there were times when she did that with Chakotay, and, you know, she pretty much does that to everyone throughout the show.
Well, she's the captain.
She has to. You know, people screw up, and she has to take care of business.
She's got
to
put the smack down.
Auditory smack down. And Tuvok, like, that's where it hit home even harder because, wait, was this season one?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was really early on, and that was pretty much the only previous relationship that we were aware of was Janeway and Tuvok.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire fact that Tuvok would do that to her, she was just bewildered. She was like, of all people, like, you are my conscience, you're the person I go to, to figure out which way I need to go. If you screw up, how can I come to you? And it was just a great character building moment and a relation, I should say, a relationship building moment. So great mm-hmm. choice, Lori.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think Janeway felt very betrayed by this. If she can't mm-hmm. trust Tuvok, who can she trust on this ship?
Yeah, there's really nobody at this Absolutely. Point.
And he pulled a very unpredictable move on her. She did not like that one bit.
That was a great pick, Lori. Well, I guess it's on to me then.
Yeah, it's
on you, buddy.
Okay, well, okay. So when we were conceiving this idea and trying to figure out what to do this week, and we came up with Tough Love, the first thing that came to mind, the absolute first thing that came to mind, was Season 5, Episode 3, Extreme Risk.
Computer, activate holoprogram Torres Zeta 1.
Program activated.
What are you doing?
Computer, freeze program!
Computer, belay that command.
Turn it off!
Not until you tell me what it is.
You know what it is.
Who's this?
Lee Paz. Don't you recognize him?
Oh, I recognize them all. Meyer, Nelson, Saurine. You created a program to watch all our Maquis friends get slaughtered. What I want to know is why.
I thought we came down here to talk about safety protocols. This has nothing to do with that.
I'm not so sure. The logs show you only ran this program for 47 seconds. The day after I gave you the news about the massacre. Then you shut it down and started running the most dangerous programs you could find. With the safeties off. Why?
This is ridiculous. I'm leaving.
Computer, seal the doors.
You can't do this!
The hell I can't. You're not going anywhere until you tell me what's going on. B'Elanna, why are you intentionally trying to hurt yourself?
I don't know.
Are you trying to commit suicide?
No.
Then why?
Because if I sprain my ankle, at least I feel something.
I hate that.
And I know. So
oh,
like,
it's tough.
I knew there was going to be some mixed emotions here. I knew that there was going to be some people who probably don't like that moment, thought it was too rough. But the moment we're talking about is where the entire episode, B'Elanna is doing these crazy stuff, and we don't know why. She's skydiving, you know, with the safeties off. She's getting into fights. She's doing stupid stuff, and she's getting a lot of injuries because of it. And Chakotay finds out. And when Chakotay finds something out, he does things about it. And so what he did was he took B'Elanna to the holodeck, and listed a program. B'Elanna starts freaking out. He literally throws her into the holodeck mm-hmm. and then makes her watch this. And what it is, it's a holodeck recreation of all of the Maquis dying by the hands of the Cardassians. And Chakotay's like, why are you doing this? Like, why did you watch our friends die? And it was just such a great moment because she was not going to snap out of it until somebody intervened. He's like, are you trying to kill yourself? You know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? And she says, she's like, I don't feel anything anymore. I'm dead inside. And like, she was angry at him for doing that, and a lot of us were angry at him for doing that to her. But I was just like, yes, some people need to be smacked around, some people need to be thrown into the proverbial holodeck. And I think this was a great moment where, I know I said earlier it was like the only time that we had like a previous relationship, but I meant like within Starfleet. But so within the Maquis, we have a previous relationship with B'Elanna and Chakotay, and I loved how that was so special and non-sexual.
Except in Persistence of Vision.
And I knew you were going to bring that up.
I had to.
No.
I totally forget that happened. Like I
it's not in your personal canon.
Yeah, I was just about to say that was erased from my head canon. So
we've all got those moments. I totally get it.
Just like how JJ's Enterprise is like 500 times bigger than the original, but whatever. So what did you guys think about that moment?
Oh, okay. Yeah, at the time, I'm just totally furious. Like, oh my god, what are you doing? This is crazy. And then at the end of the episode, when you get into that processing mode, you realize, okay, you know what? Yeah, he did the right thing there. because you're not going to talk B'Elanna out of a situation that deep. You're just not. Yeah. She is much more, she needed kind of a physical wake-up call.
Mm. Yes.
And that's what this was. So it seemed completely irrational at the time as we watched it, but it was the right choice. And it was hard to watch. And then that's actually now why I like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, actually. I mean, I can live with the fact that it's uncomfortable to watch because a real life situation like that is not comfortable.
No.
I mean, I've known people who are at their absolute wits' end. They are dead inside. They are extremely clinically depressed and don't know what else to do. Maybe they are harming themselves in some way. They feel so hopeless. What do you do with somebody who feels like they have nothing to live for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you need to really be shaken to the core to move on. You're right.
Yeah. You got to do something. And sometimes it's something very extreme for them to hit rock bottom and see reality again.
Almost extreme risk. Sorry.
Oh, see what you did there.
Yeah. That's I bring it back.
You're so okay, awesome.
Let's go with your number two.
Okay. Number two, the disease.
According to the doctor, your condition isn't life-threatening. There's no reason to confine you to sick bay. But I do agree with his recommendation to run full bio scans on both you and Tal. And her people need to be told, so they can evaluate any bio threat you might have introduced into their population. We're trying to help these people, Ensign, earn their trust. I was even hoping they might return the favor, share their technology, their insights into long-term space travel, but your little escapade put that in jeopardy.
Permission to speak freely. With all due respect, this wasn't a fling. I've really gotten to know Tal. And I've developed true feelings for her.
Noted. But there are regulations. And you've broken them. I'm entering a formal reprimand into your record. And I'm ordering you to break off this relationship. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Dismissed.
That's my second one also.
You got one. Okay, we got some crossover. We're going to have eight then. That's okay. I've got honorable mentions.
That's all right. We all have honorable mentions. So,
Janeway is really tough on Harry in this episode. She orders him to break up with his girlfriend. And I mean, that's pretty tough right there.
It really is.
It's like a mom talking to her teenage son when she finds out that he's been sleeping with his girlfriend or something like that.
You're not allowed to see that girl across the tracks again.
Exactly. Like she finds the pack of Trojan condoms in his dresser drawer or something, only Harry wasn't using them because he got space herpes. Just saying.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. And I kind of like how Chakotay calls Janeway out on this. Aren't you being a little bit harsh?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you guys, do you think Janeway was being too harsh in this episode?
Now, I didn't think she was, well, in a way, I think she was being harsh, but her reasoning I thought was totally ridiculous. He's just an ensign. He doesn't get to question my decision. He's just an ensign because you won't freaking promote him. That's the problem. That's the thing. That's the deal. So, yeah, I think he's got the right by this point to say, yeah, lady, you don't get to run my personal life, too. So, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Here's where I think he goes wrong. Because I think both parties overreact just a little bit. And I think Harry goes wrong when he does not consult the doctor first. Because apparently this is a regulation where you basically have to get cleared, like, interspecies mating between these two.
Yes.
Yeah, you're good. Okay, I'll green light you on that. He didn't do it.
See, that right there, like, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is this is textbook Starfleet stuff right here. Like, they would remove the names, but, once they get back home, they will put this in a textbook somewhere and say, like, this is the reason why you need medical officer approval or from your captain approval to have intimate relations with an unknown alien species, because they're like, he got space herpes, he started glowing, he almost created an intergalactic incident with another race.
Your body too.
Yeah.
As if the glowing was not enough.
I know. His body turned into a lava lamp, so that was kind of cool in a way. But
I mean, that was probably bad enough of a punishment, but yeah, it gets so much worse.
I have to interject real quick and just tell a real quick story. Okay, I had a friend who was in the Navy, and they were going to Thailand.
Oh,
and
God.
And so they sent out, like, the commanding officer or the doctor, I can't remember, sent out this mass email to every single one before they got into port. And in this email, it had tons and tons of pictures of gorgeous women. Like, one more gorgeous after the next. And then you scroll through it, and then you get to the bottom of the email, and it said, just so you know, these are all men. And for those of you at home with delicate sensibilities, I dearly apologize, but they have rules for this in the military and paramilitary groups and for things when you travel, because you never know what you're going to get into when you have sexual relations with somebody else.
Be careful.
Yeah.
When you hook up with people,
get some prior approval.
And I'm not laughing so much at the fact that these were transgender people, just like, haha.
Oh, no.
Look at what she would be seeking.
No, not at all. I am not laughing at transgendered people or transsexuals at all. I'm just stating that, like, when you're in the military, you are responsible not only for yourself, but for the people that you're with. And, like, you could be going into a situation where you don't know all of the facts. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
And that was his problem. That's what he did. I do want to say, since this was my pick also, I do want to say that she told him to break up with his girlfriend, but then Harry came back to Janeway and just got all up in her face and just let her know that he didn't agree with what she said. I was proud of him for standing up to her.
That's true. He did stand up for himself, yes.
That's true.
Although, okay, and that's half good, but he did it in whiny teenager mode. Have you ever been in love, Captain? Do you know what it's like?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is Harry. Yeah, even 7 of 9 thinks love is a disease. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's Harry, though. What do you do?
It's nice that he grew a spine, but he had to execute it like that. Boo.
Poor Harry.
All right, well, I guess that round two will fall to me now at the end.
Indeed.
This one is a quick one, so I will not take up a lot of time. This one is Season 1, Episode 16, Learning Curve.
You want to give me your version of what happened? Commander, we're going to live up to our responsibilities on this ship. We're just not going to be treated like teenage cadets. I see.
It was ridiculous. Tuvok had Chell running laps around the cargo bay.
And he was picking on Garen. I don't like it.
Really?
Look, Commander, you know as well as I do that we're used to playing with a different rule book. There's the Starfleet way, and there's the Maquis way.
And you want to do things the Maquis way?
That's right. That's always worked for us.
That's the Maquis way too, isn't it? And if you want to keep doing it the Maquis way, that's fine with me. We can do that tomorrow, the next day, every day until you report to Lieutenant Tuvok. You understand me? What? How does a Starfleet crewman answer a question?
Yes, sir.
Does anybody else have a problem?
Oh, that's my third pick.
Oh, that's your third pick? Okay, well.
Yep.
You and I can combine this then.
Let's hash it.
Love this moment. I've talked about this several times, and my first one was a Chakotay moment, and my second one is a Chakotay moment, where these Maquis officers will not assimilate, pun intended, into the Voyager crew, and they are, like, just being real jerks about it, some of them. And one guy's like, who's a horrible actor, was like, yeah, we need to get back to the way things were. We should do things the Maquis way. And so Chakotay, like, in his backwards chair, all Riker style, and he's like, oh, okay, you want to do things the Maquis way? Okay. All right, slam! Hits him in the face, in the mess hall. The XO of the starship punches an officer in the face. Yeah, I don't think, maybe he's not
does.
An officer, but a crewman in the face on a Starfleet vessel. This was, I wanted more of this. Like, we talked about how the Maquis lost their teeth, Chakotay lost his teeth, and this was a perfect moment of when the Maquis and Chakotay was at the height of what we thought we were going to get. And this was tough love. This was like, listen, we could do things the Maquis way. I could throw you out the airlock. I could make you lose your teeth. Whatever you want to happen. Or we could do things the Starfleet way, where you just take some classes. You know, like...
And then we all get along and we learn together.
Yeah, so why did you choose this one, Char?
For the same reason you did, I absolutely adore that scene. That is the Chakotay I wanted to see through the whole series. The dude has bark, man. He can bite. And I just loved it.
Yeah.
It was unpredictable. It was shocking. And yet he had a very good reason for what he did. You know, grounded in a very solid idea. It wasn't for the sake of just, well, I don't like what you're saying. Boom.
Pow.
It's more, okay, this is what you want. This is what you get. You like it now? Huh?
Who's going to get him in trouble? Like, who, like, he's the XO.
Is Janeway going to discipline Chakotay for that?
No. It's awesome. He got a free pass and he knew it, so.
He did, so good for him for taking it. Good job, Chakotay.
Yeah.
So I wish we would have seen more of that, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe not specifically punching, but, you know, like, well, okay, that, you know.
He doesn't have to punch more people in the face, but I like the fact that he had a very interesting way of expressing his opinion and...
I
don't know. I kind of like it when Chakotay gets fierce.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wanted he was a lot like. Oh, I mean, he. I'm not saying that my father's gone, but Chakotay's a lot like how I view my dad. My dad is a very gentle soul, a very kind man, but I'm scared of him, and I felt like like we could have done that with Chakotay a bit more. Like everyone considered him like, oh, he's an old soul, he's such a softy, but he'll tear your face off if it came down to it.
Absolutely. That is what Chakotay really should have been. I mean, if they would have constructed him to be more of that type of person, because they got it half right. He was the gentle, kind soul. But really, yeah, it would have been fantastic if everybody would have feared him just a little bit, because between him and Janeway... Don't you mess with that command team.
Yeah,
oh, no,
exactly.
no.
Exactly.
You will pay hard.
All right, well, I guess we're already into round three then, because if that was your choice.
Yep.
So,
Lori. We're on to Lori.
It's my turn. Yeah. All right, my episode was Survival Instinct, and it was the scene where Tom and Harry are standing in front of Janeway at her desk, like they're at the principal's office. That's what it made me think of, because I've stood there enough times even as an adult.
A friendly game.
Well, that's how it started.
I see. Perhaps you could explain to me how this friendly game turned into a street brawl.
Well, Harry and I wanted to explore the station. We wanted to broaden our understanding of alien cultures and...
Skip the recruiting speech. You were looking for a bar. Then what?
Well, we found one, and we met a pair of Kimbori who told us about this game they play with these big... odd-looking rackets.
You mean one of those?
Yeah. Yeah. In any case, they challenged us to a game, and we accepted. But I guess we weren't quite aware of all the rules.
Because you'd been drinking.
Yes, ma'am. You see, we thought it was a version of tennis. But as soon as we hit the first volley, this Kimbori jumps over the net and starts attacking us with his racket.
So we figured we were supposed to fight back.
Yeah.
And then, well, things got a little out of hand.
A little out of hand. Seven Voyager crewmen, including two bridge officers, along with 13 Kimbori and one Morphinian cafe owner, all arrested. The charges range from disorderly conduct to assault on a security officer.
But that one's not true.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kim. I'll note that exception in my log. You're both confined to quarters until further notice. After you report to sickbay. That's all.
So they pan over and you see Tom's black eye, and they start hemming and hawing around and saying what they were doing, and they played some crazy game with some aliens on the space station where they were with a weird racket. And she's like, just skip all that. You were looking for a bar. And they're like, yeah, we were. And so this became a street brawl because you were drunk. Yes. I love that. I thought that was great. And then they're on the way out the door for getting in trouble. And she's like, so did you win? They're like, oh, yeah, we kicked their rackets. We did. But that was cool. I like, there wasn't much of a, like, I don't know. I guess it was as tough as it got in that episode, but I really liked that moment. I thought it was funny.
That was a great fun moment. Like, it was a tough of moment, but it was fun. And there's no conceivable way you could play a game with that racket.
No! That yeah, was what? Like, what is this thing?
All of you who have no idea what we're talking about, Google that episode and, like, just put in racket or something, or just watch it. And it, yeah. Like, when she picks it up or they pick it up, it's just, it doesn't make sense. Like, you're looking at it.
Yeah. What do you do with this thing?
Like, you would have to be like a species 8472 with like six arms or something
you
just
would.
To figure it out.
You would.
Yeah, maybe they play. I don't know.
I don't know.
It was weird. It was really, well, they said we hit the ball. They hit the ball to us and we hit it back. And then they got mad. It's a racket and a ball. Seems like, I'm not really sure. I guess they should have let it go by, but whatever.
Yeah.
I thought it was very reminiscent of the TOS Trouble with Tribbles episode. Like, they all get into the bar fight, and then, like, Kirk is, like, dressing everybody down, just walking up
yes,
and down, like, okay,
that was funny.
Who started it?
Yeah. And it's not the fact that they insulted Kirk that was what started the fight. It was the fact that they insulted the Enterprise, yeah. And Scotty yeah. threw the first punch.
That was cool. Yeah, that was cool.
I love that so much.
He's yes. like, did you hear what he said yeah. about the captain? Okay, so
fantastic.
I guess. All right, so my third one. You may think that I have another Chakotay one, but I tried really hard not to. So my third choice is season 3, episode 13, Fair Trade.
You've been on this ship for 2 years. I'd think by now you'd have learned that the first duty of any Starfleet officer is the truth. You violated that duty, Neelix. And there will be consequences.
I'm prepared to leave the ship, Captain.
Oh, no. It's not that easy. You can't just walk away from your responsibilities because you made a mistake. You're part of a family now, and you have obligations.
But I can't guide you. I can't advise you. I don't know what's coming.
Well, that's not the point. Is it? None of us knows what's coming. That's what Starfleet is all about. We are all in this together, Neelix. And we have to be able to count on each other no matter how hard it gets. Do you understand?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, that's good. Report to deuterium maintenance at 0400 tomorrow morning. You're going to spend the next 2 weeks scrubbing the exhaust manifolds. That should give you time to think about what I've said. Dismissed.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably none of you are probably figuring. Okay, that's the episode where Neelix is trying to get a
yeah,
map.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the episode where his friend Wix is there and he meets up with him, and Neelix is freaking out because he doesn't know anything more past this region of space, and so he feels like Janeway won't need me. Like, if I don't know anything about this region of space, then how am I valuable to the crew? And so he tries to get a map, and because of that, it was just a series of unfortunate events that involved drug dealing, you know, shots fired, like Chakotay and Tom getting taken into custody, and like Neelix is trying to steal plasma coolant from the Voyager, but he just can't do it. And so it just comes down to it, and everything blows up in Neelix's face, literally and figuratively. I know I say that a lot this episode, but it's true. He was knocked unconscious, and Janeway figured out everything and then asked for an explanation. And instead of kicking him off the ship, because Neelix said, like, it's like, I'm ready. I'm ready to be kicked off, and I'm sorry. She's like, no, that's the easy way out. You're a member of this crew. You're a member of this family. And you're going to stay and apologize to the people who you've hurt. And so instead of me just kicking you off, you're going to report tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. for 2 weeks of plasma coolant scrubbing or something like that. Like a deuterium tanks. Yeah, scrubbing 2 weeks of scrubbing deuterium tanks. And I just thought that was so great because Neelix was grinning ear to ear. No one in the history of the galaxy has ever been so happy to scrub deuterium tanks.
And that's so funny because, I mean, really, that sounds so much worse than just leaving. But
it does.
He had nowhere else really to go.
No,
yeah,
he
not
didn't.
When you're Neelix and you love your family as much as he
this
does.
This is true. Aww. This is true.
And that's why I love that moment, because it was a great relationship moment. It was a great tough love moment and a great Neelix moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good pick.
That is a good one.
Well, we are winding down, so let's do some quick honorable mentions. Let's talk about the episode and why we chose him real quick, and then so we can all kind of give in. So, Char, what are some of your honorable mentions?
Okay. The one I've got to put out there that you're going to just cringe at, and I'm sorry, Tristan, is The Thaw.
Yeah.
Where at the very end, Janeway gives Fear a taste of his own medicine, and he doesn't like it very much.
Okay, that's the thing. Like, I have two that are just like yours, but from good episodes. And
excuse me?
Okay, like, I didn't see that as a tough love moment, because I figured, like, tough love is for someone you actually care about and someone who's going to exist after you enact that tough love. Because if you're doing something that erases their existence, how can they learn from that?
This is true. And yeah, I agree. This is kind of a weak selection, and it doesn't totally qualify.
But mine are the same way, like, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I give mine.
Okay. So, I totally admit that this is a fine line here, and you could see it as tough love or not.
Yeah.
But I think Janeway did this with, I mean, a little bit of tenderness. She talked to him. She talked him out of existence rather than just blowing him up.
True.
I mean, if all else fails, she could have torpedoed the thing and called her losses.
She could have. You're right.
Could have. She had B'Elanna and Harry in there, and so she had to get them out. But even then, even after she got them out and Fear was still there, she could have just, physically detonated something. She didn't. She made him suffer a little more through her tough love.
In Janeway form.
I don't know. She made him feel it in his conscience, what he had of one anyway. So that's almost tough love.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's why these are honorable mentions. That's why I didn't quite make the cut.
Okay, so what's another one? Who's got another one?
Lori, how about you?
Q2, when Q is, like, being hard on his son. I thought that some tough love there.
Oh, yeah. And Janeway gives him a lot of tough love, too.
That's a great example, Lori.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a whole episode all about tough love. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
Wow, yes. Definitely.
Don't you Aunt Kathy me. I like that.
Yeah.
She, poor girl, she has to put up with so much crap in that episode.
She really does. But it was cute.
Well, I have two quick ones that are pretty much in the same line as Char's. I chose Tuvix and Drone.
Okay, why Tuvix?
Well, it's the same thing where Janeway has to make that tough call of splitting Tuvix so that she can get Neelix and Tuvok back. And so that's kind of where I came up to the realization. I was like, that's not tough love. That's a tough call, because even though she cared for Tuvix, she's not teaching him anything. She's not showing that she loves him by disciplining him, because he's ceasing to exist after she makes this decision.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's why I kind of had that issue with the thaw, is because you and I are thinking exactly the same and have the exact same reasoning.
And I would actually take the side on this one of she was making a tough decision, not necessarily tough love.
Right, exactly.
Maybe tough love on Tuvix, but at his expense for Tuvok and Neelix.
If
that makes any sense.
No, you're exactly right.
Makes sense. Yeah, it does.
And then Drone was not so much a tough love scenario, but more of a sacrificial scenario where the futuristic Borg covered himself in a force field so that the Doctor couldn't help him out, because as long as he existed, Voyager was going to be in danger. And he's like, no, you know, one of those needs in the mini kind of thing. And then he died. Mm-hmm. So that was another tough decision, but it can't be like tough love on yourself or something. I don't know. So those are my two lazy honorable mentions.
Okay. I've got one more, and I want to know what you guys think of this one. What about Sacred Ground?
Which one? What part?
This is the one where Kes like touches a little light thing in an ancient
temple
cave thing.
Yeah.
Temple. Yes. Passes her out, and Janeway has to go through a ritual that involves her taking a leap of faith in order to save Kes. And of course, Janeway goes about it the very scientific way, where she's like, I'm going to do everything they ask me to, and it doesn't matter how physically vigorous it is, how much I have to suffer, whatever I need to do. But it's more of just simply a matter of faith that, yes, whatever I need to do carrying her into the temple, apparently without this belief that it would work, would actually kill them both or something like that. And so it's not so much that a member of our crew is giving the tough love, rather Janeway is getting it.
Yeah.
But it's not really benefiting her.
Well, it kind of is. Now, this is, again, kind of where it's rocky. I mean, Janeway, they're doing this ever so patiently on her, waiting for her to figure this out until she comes to the realization, okay, I have no other choice but to do this, until she really does finally believe in it. And it does affect her. She does learn, like, hey, maybe there is a little something beyond what I can explain with a scientific mind. Never mind the fact that the doctor explains what actually happened at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But she's thinking, maybe there are things that are ethereal and things that I just cannot understand. For her, that is beyond her comfort zone. So I would say that that is tough love in a kind of a different context.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I think Lori and I are disagreeing with you on that.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I know it's iffy. I know.
So she's tough on herself? It's tough love for yourself? Is that what you're saying?
No, not entirely. I mean, her guide was giving her the tough love by making her figure it out for herself.
Okay.
Sort of like what a parent does to a teenager who just won't listen. They've got to make that mistake and get themselves out of it, because otherwise they're not going to learn.
So you let them mess up and then they have to live with what they've done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't know how much that's tough love.
I don't know how much sense, though. No,
yeah. I'm not sure how much that's tough love.
I'm just messing with you guys. We're kind of hitting our minute mark pretty hard here. So we're going to wrap this up. And before we go, we want to talk to you about how you need to visit our sponsor. What you hear at the beginning of every episode is TrekFan.org. Please visit TrekFan.org, where you will find an experience unlike any other. Now, next week, we are doing something really cool where I love this new series that we started, where we focus on the bad guys of Voyager, the aliens who are the antagonists. And next week, we're going to talk about the one and only Hirogen.
Only there wasn't just one.
Well, yeah.
The several.
There's no other race like the Hirogen, as
no,
I meant.
Right. There was that one Krennim guy, because we did discuss before the show on the other side of the room whether we were going to discuss the Krennim or not. No, it was one guy.
That's
really
pretty much just one guy. Yeah, everybody else is just in the background.
So
but
we're skipping to the Hirogen.
Yeah, so those of you who are wondering why we're not doing the Krennim is because we feel like there is much more emphasis on the Hirogen. One thing that we would love you to do is please give us a rating. And if you give us a 5-star rating, we will give you a shout out on the show. And who doesn't like a good shout out? So we will talk to you next week. And this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!